Scott with SJ, wildfire.com. Hey, I'm pleased to announce Pastor Larry. We've talked a little bit about Pastor Larry and his Bible study. He's been studying Ephesians 6 for the last 3 to 4 years.
1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says, be sober. And that word sober, my friends, refers to alertness, not being sober from drinking alcohol. It says, be alert. Be vigilant, because your adversary, we have an adversary, and it identifies him here in this passage, it's the devil. He's like, and Peter uses a simile, like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. A lot of things going on in that little verse that Peter talks about. He tells us to be vigilant, to be alert. And I mentioned in my last podcast, in Vietnam, we always had to be vigilant. We always had to be alert. We had to be in hyper alertness, always looking around us, had to have the eyes in the back of your head. You had to watch where you're walking, watch where you're stepping. Always be looking in the air, every place. And it's because you have an adversary, my friends, an adversary, somebody who's against you. That's in the spiritual realm. I always emphasize this. It's not in the physical. It's in the spiritual realm. He's a devil. The simile that's given is this. Like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking to devour you as a Christian. Because Peter's talking to believers here. He's not talking to the unsaved. He's talking to believers in this passage and in the book. And this simile of a lion is very interesting. If you were to watch the nature shows about lions, you can get an idea of what Satan is like. A lion is very stealthy. He creeps about. He watches. He waits for the right opportunity. In other words, they're a stalker. As you watch them, they crouch. They hide behind bushes. They hide behind trees. And they're waiting to pounce. And so that's what Satan is like. He's waiting to pounce, and it's usually on, when the lion pounces, it's usually on a weak or a weak animal or a very young animal. So as we compare this to the spiritual realm, and isn't this what Satan does? He'll pounce upon, if you're not strong as the Bible commands us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He'll get the weak ones. He'll pick off the weak ones. Those who aren't in the Word of God. Those who are not growing as a Christian. They become more vulnerable. And those are the one he stalks. Those are the one he preys on. True, he'll stalk those who are strong, and he'll look for a chink in their armor. So we must always know that we have on the whole armor of God, and that's what Paul states in Ephesians 6, and he repeats himself, that you have on all the armor, not just part of it. If you don't have on all the armor, you have a chink in your armor. But basically, Satan picks on the weak and the young, those who are new believers. If you read in Jesus' sower and the seed in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, he talks about the seed that only takes root in one of four sowings. And Jesus gives you reasons why the devil takes that word of God from them. And basically it's this, they're not grounded in the word of God. Get that? They're not grounded. The roots haven't taken growth yet, and there was reasons for that, and basically it's the Word of God. So You want to be strong in the Lord, and it all comes back to that. You need to be in what God has provided for us, Himself and His Word. So, a lion is very stealthy. He always lays in ambush. Exactly what happened to us in Vietnam. We walked into ambushes that we had no idea they were there. They were so well camouflaged. And they pulverized us. And this is what Satan is like. He's like that lion that wants to ambush you if you're weak and if you're young. He's always seeking whom he may devour. Always looking to destroy God's plan, God's people, and God's priorities. And he does that through his allies, the flesh, our old natures, our old sinful natures, and he does it through the world system. So we can't be ignorant. We have to have the mind of Christ. And the purpose of these podcasts are to make believers aware that Satan is out there and that the war is real and that he is really, but mainly to let you know that God has provided the means of doing battle with this adversary. And like I've said before and I've emphasized, you do not have to fear him. You do not have to fear him. And I think I emphasized that enough in my last podcast. So by learning God's provisions, you can also be successful with the battle of our own desires. That's what the Bible calls the flesh. Now, the Bible speaks of the flesh. It talks about, in its context, you can see that it talks about our natural, unsaved human nature. Because when you got saved as a Christian, God didn't eradicate your old nature, the one that you were born with. Because the Bible is always telling us to kill the old nature, to put it to death by not feeding it. And we're going to talk about that. And to always feed the new nature, which is a spiritual nature that Christ gave you when you were born again. So the war is real. Jesus taught it. The apostles taught it. If we do not understand this, that the war is real, that Satan is a real person with the demons as his workers, we will fail in our Christian lives. Just as I would have done in my struggles in the Vietnam War. Could you imagine if I would have walked out into the battlefield without my helmet, flak jacket, rifle, boots, and other equipment, thinking that all I have to do is speak sweet words, and the world out there is all beautiful, and there's no enemy, and there's no harm to me. I wouldn't have lasted very long in Vietnam, my friends. And neither will we last long in this spiritual battle if we have that mind. Yet there's many Christians, sad to say, that do not like the war imagery, even to the point of denying that the devil and demons really exist. Well, right there, he's won the battle. Just give me a positive message, they say. I have enough daily struggles they have to deal with. And you hear that over and over. Like I just said, by learning to use God's provisions, we can battle and be victorious on all three fronts. We can know how to battle Satan's allies by knowing Satan's tactics and by knowing our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what John says. He says, love not the world. Now, that seems like a contradiction. And there's others, there's people, there's critics that'll bring this up. But don't let them fool you. They say, well, Jesus says, or John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And here it says, love not the world. You have to understand how John is using the word world. He's using it as the context is going to show. He's using it as the world's way of thinking, its system. It's not talking about the people in the world, because we know that our warfare is not against flesh and blood. But it's talking about the world system. It says, love not the world, and I put the word system in there, neither the things, understand that? The things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, listen to this, this is the system. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this age or this world. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4, 1 John 5:19. Satan controls the world system. That's a plain teaching of the Word of God. And we're not to love that world because it stands opposed. Remember, it all mentions lust. The scriptures stand opposed to that world's system. And five times in this passage, you read that word world. And it means the sphere or realm in which unsaved men operate because they are not spiritually alive. They just operate according to their five physical senses. You read it there, the lust of the flesh. That's the first one. It's not just a reference to sexual sins, but it's man's desire for possession. Man's born with a selfish, sinful nature, and we live to gratify our senses, even in the good things. Have you ever stopped, if you're listening to this podcast, have you ever stopped and ask yourself, why am I doing these things? Well, it makes me happy. It gives me fulfillment. Are these things all bad? No, but if that's the end of the means that you're doing it, then it kind of replaces the need of Christ in your life. It becomes self-centered. It becomes seeking just to be happy, just for the happiness sakes. I deserve to be happy. And I heard that many times in counseling when a wife or husband wants to leave their spouse. I deserve to be happy. It's all about self. Now, this is what the Bible talks about, the lust of the flesh, just seeking to gratify yourself and not really concerned with gratifying others. It's just seeking to gratify yourself. I'll give you a definition of the world by Dr. Richard DeHaan. He says, quote, the moral and spiritual system we call human society. Mankind, which rejected God's revelation, has devised explanations of life, moral standards, and principles of conduct based upon human knowledge only. Man on the whole operates on erroneous ideas, selfish principles, like I talked about, and desires. The sciences, the arts, politics and entertainment are all dominated by a humanistic approach to life, which draws men away from God and makes man the measure of all things. And isn't that so true? That's a great definition of the world that's talked about in this passage in 1 John. And it can be innocent things. You can make a god out of anything. You can make a god out of sports. And man, does that become that way. You can make a god out of TV. just by watching TV all the time. Sometimes I call it the altar. You know, because that you can make, and we know, the cell phone. Be on that cell phone and make that one of your idols. And totally ignore what God is saying. God is trying to speak to you. And the Bible calls it vain philosophical ideas, and it uses, the King James uses the word vainglory. And vainglory has to do with pride. The Old Testament commands, it says, thou shalt not covet, has to do with lust. You are lusting after somebody's neighbor, somebody's neighbor's wife, their possessions. Always wanting something that really doesn't belong to you. You can covet after, lust after money that you don't have. And that becomes the driving force in your life. So these are all the things that are in the world. And we're not to love those things. Our love and our devotion go to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're concerned about. You know, when I was a lot younger, I lived during the hippie era when I got out of Vietnam, and the hippie mantra was this, quote, if it feels good, do it. But that doesn't expose itself as against the Word of God. But I hear the same mantra today, but it's in a disguise a little bit differently. It goes something like this. If it makes you happy, it must be right. I just saw that in a TV commercial. If it makes you happy, it must be right. Now think about that. Do you know that that could lead to tremendous problems in our lives? If we would really carry it out to its logical conclusion, and many have, to their own demise. If it makes you happy, it must be right. That contradicts what the scriptures teach. This is the world system I'm talking about. And our society is full of it. It is full of things like this. Live your own truth out. Live your own truth? Well, my own truth might be saying that I deserve something that belongs to you. So it must be true. Carry it out to its logic and conclusion. And I don't know why people don't do this, because they're always talking about logic. But yet it's against the principles of the Word of God. And well to remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. He says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. And we're talking about lust of the flesh. But you walk after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, listen to this, do mind the things of the flesh. Remember Jesus says you cannot serve two masters? So if you're trying to serve your carnal nature, then you're going to mind the things. If you're going to pay attention, you're going to devote your time to the things of your carnal nature. But they that are after the Spirit, the spiritual realm we're talking about, the Spirit of God, they mind the things of the Spirit. Oh boy, that's a tremendous passage. What are you setting your mind on? What am I setting my mind on? Am I praying to my Savior? Oh, God, lead me from this temptation. Deliver me. And are you taking steps to be delivered? Are you turning away from it? Christ has promised to help us. Mind the things of the Spirit. Get into the Spirit of God. Get into the Word of God. Do what it says. Obey what it says. Ask God to help you. Ask God to reveal it to you. Have God show it to you. And with a sincere heart, He will do that. Because there's a negative attachment to this passage in Romans. It says, for to be carnally minded, that's what the flesh is, Because you're always thinking about the world, about how I'm going to straighten this out, how I'm going to straighten that out. And we don't seek God, and we don't seek His understanding. We don't seek His word, and we get frustrated, and we wonder why. And it's all because we're seeking after the carnal solution to our problems. For to be carnally minded is death. Listen to that. It's not talking of a physical death. Your spiritual life is cut off. You're separated. But to be spiritual minded is life. You want to live. You want to live successfully. You want to live victoriously. But the spiritual mind is life. Ah, life. Who doesn't want that? Living in the midst of chaos, to know what it is to literally live, is life and peace. Have you made peace with God? Unbeliever, listen to me. Have you made peace with God? The Bible says that you're at war with God. If you have not come to Him and recognize who He is, that He is a Savior of the world, a Savior of you, you are cut off from God. And you're not at peace. Christ offers that to you. So to be spiritually minded, Christian, is life and peace, because the fleshly mind is enmity. That's the King James Version of hatred against God, for it is not subject to God's law. When I was in sin as a believer, I found myself not reading God's word. I stayed away from it because that sin kept me from it. I was bent towards fulfilling the carnal nature. Listen to what I'm saying. I experienced that. For it is not subject to God's law, so then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We're not pleasing our Savior who did so much for us, believers. If we're not in the Spirit, we're disappointing Him. Does He still love us? Yes. Are we still saved? Yes. But we're not in that place of peace and rest and living for Him. Next week, I'm going to read a larger passage in this, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, and that's Romans chapter 8. As I say again, as I sign off, my friends, share this with someone who might need to know this, and we'll all rejoice, and we'll all be rewarded in heaven for it. So please share it. See you next week.